3, 2, 1, anytime.
Good evening. The synopsis, a low from the Great Lakes will move across southwestern Quebec Saturday. It is accompanied by cloud and rain. However, the lower St. Lawrence will be far enough from the low to enjoy sunny skies. Temperatures will be below normals. For our region, Pontiac, Gatineau and Lièvre, this evening, tonight and Saturday, intermittent rain, chance of thunder showers this evening, low tonight 3 to 5, high Saturday near 12. Probability of precipitation 70% this evening, 80% tonight and 80% Saturday. Outlook for Sunday, chance of showers. This is Louis Dussault for Environment Canada in Maniwaki.
Quay, my name is Jenny Tanasco, and once again this year I will be coordinating Anishinaabe Kijik. The schedule is as follows. At 12 noon, we will gather at the youth center to get organized for our parade through town. At 1 p.m., the parade leaves for town. At approximately 2:30, we will be returning to the Casey School for games and refreshments for all ages. At 4:30, we will be leaving for the hall where we will be having supper, and then at 7 p.m., entertainment on stage by community members, followed by closing ceremonies. Thank you.
One of the major contributors to soil degradation in Canada is the way we farm. Slowly, year by year, incremental damage is done to the land. The research coordinator for resources at Agriculture Canada in Ottawa, John Noland, says before we can even think of reclaiming our damaged land, we must stop our current destructive practices. There are two ways we can change our practices. One is by changing the physical structures of farmland, for instance, building terraces. Noland says the problems with techniques like this is that they are very expensive, and the benefits of the changes are not always seen immediately. The second way is to change cropping systems. Many of Canada's farms practice monoculture, that is, the continuous cultivation of one crop, like wheat in the west or corn in Ontario. Monoculture puts a lot of demand upon the soil. For example, one crop will demand the same nutrients over and over again with every season. Noland says that reintroducing the idea of crop rotations, the way early Canadian settlers farmed, particularly the addition of rotations of forages like grasses and hay, would help protect the land. He says forages help prevent wind and water erosion and stabilize the land. However, Noland asks, would farmers end up growing a crop that they can't sell? His answer is that new markets will have to be developed for forages.
An example from eastern Canada would be that if ways can be found of growing more hay and making the bales smaller, compacting them, making them more manageable for transportation, there are markets for that. There are markets in the sort of horse breeding country in Florida. Apparently, Ireland at the present time has a demand for hay, providing it can be transported more reasonably. Well, that kind of technology would then encourage farmers to grow more hay in Ontario. And that would be a tremendous step in the right direction to conserve and stabilize the land.
Noland says that in Saskatchewan, some farmers are already selling dehydrated alfalfa pellets to Pacific Rim clients on a small scale. He says that perhaps some small incentives might serve to nudge farmers into cropping systems that better conserve the land. Agriculture Canada is also involved in research that might seem unrelated to soil conservation at first glance, but may contribute to the growth of the market for forages. For example, research is underway to improve rumen bacteria in the digestive systems of cattle to enable them to digest forages more efficiently. If cattle can be made to gain as quickly on forages as on grain, increasing the market for forages, soil conservation through rotational cropping could become economically attractive. At Agriculture Canada, I'm Melissa Anderson.
And that's news. Turning to sports with Eric McGregor.
Good evening. In the Stanley Cup Finals last night, Yari Curry's goal at 6:50 of overtime lifted Edmonton Oilers to a 3-2 victory over Philadelphia. Edmonton now leads the best of seven series 2-0, and Game 3 is set for Friday night in Philadelphia. In Major League Baseball action last night in the National League, the Expos scored 7 runs, but it wasn't enough as they lost a 9-7 decision to San Francisco. the loss dropped the Expos one game below the 500 mark. Also in the National League, it was Cincinnati 6, Chicago Cubs 2. St. Louis edged past Atlanta 5-4. New York Mets over San Diego 10-3. And Pittsburgh 5, Houston 3. In the American League, the Blue Jays lost a 5-4 decision to California on the West Coast. It was the second loss in a row for the Jays, and they now trailed Eastern Division leading New York Yankees by 2.5 games. Also in the American League, it was Seattle 6, Baltimore 2, Minnesota over Cleveland 8-2, Boston dumped Kansas City 7-1, Detroit got by Texas 6-4, and Milwaukee broke a 12-game losing streak with a 5-1 victory over Chicago White Sox. And that's sports. Now turning to our Sequoia weather forecast with Louis Dussault.
A southerly flow has maintained temperatures slightly above the seasonal values, and skies had turned gradually cloudy from the west to the east today. A frontal trough over middle northern Quebec will slip slowly north of our region tonight and give rain. On Friday, this trough will move over the St. Lawrence Valley, giving rain mainly in eastern Quebec, and a few thundershowers are possible over the extreme southwestern Quebec. On Saturday, a ridge of high pressure will build up over northern Quebec and clear the skies from the north to the south. For our regions, Pontiac, Gatineau, and Lièvre, this evening cloudy, tonight cloudy with scattered showers, low near 13, probability of precipitation 40%, Friday, periods of rain, risk of thunder showers, high 16 to 20, moderate winds at times, probability of precipitation 90%. An outlook for Saturday, clearing. This was Louis Dussault for Environment Canada in Maniwaki.
Mira şey abi ki de çeşno gona akşıkta nguana kodişit piçarı bika kama gajita yapı istaba bin bir isan. Yedin kakşno gona akşık çıgı ime tasva işin nisve ki de odaynika. Ancele şuabang cibatı gizgak na vaçki duak yapı istaba bin bir isan kama gajwabang da unimi kiwan. Şi jwabang yedin kak me tasva işin ngu dasve magay nişçina Celsius taynika şi japi çvak ten odin. Ancele şkijuin mani gizgak tayni bakasın mi şeykiloj. CKWE News, Sports and Weather, I'm Charles Morey along with Louis Dussault and Eric McGregor.
She's the cutest girl I've ever seen. I'll tell you face to face, I mean to steal her from you. Hey, Mo, we'll be friends until the end, but this looks like the end, my friend. I'm gonna keep that dolly for my own. I'm gonna keep that dolly for my own.
Yeah, that's Mo Bandy and Joe Stampley with Hey Joe. That's a happy birthday wish going out to Edgar Duchesne. And that one was from Lorraine, wishing you all the best. Happy birthday to Edgar, and also a couple of more birthdays tonight. Jamie is celebrating a birthday also. And likewise, Eric McGregor is celebrating a birthday tonight also. So, hey, happy birthday to all these people.
But, ding, ding. Before the 12th stroke of the clock, the racket recommenced. Bang! A blow with the fist here. Boom! A kick there. Then, lamentations. Then the grating sound of chains. Then bursts of laughter. Whispers. Sudden light. Strange breath. Passing in the room. The uproar would make you die of fright. Jean grew white with anger. He leaped out of bed for his scythe. Swearing like a man possessed, he barged through every room of the mill with his scythe, even the attic. But when the miller came into your room, the sound would stop and begin in the room he had just left. It was enough to drive a man mad. At last, Jean Plante went back to bed from sheer weariness and pulled the covers over his head. He shook all night, and his teeth chattered as if he had a fever. Things stayed that way for a week. The night of the 8th day was All Saints. Jean kept watch alone again at the mill. He missed mass with the excuse that the weather was too bad. He preferred to spend his time drinking and defying the good Lord. He had changed a great deal, the poor man. His face was puffy and his eyes were bright with fever. Outside, the wind raged. It had been beating against the window panes with a fine rain since morning. There was no moon at all. A night black as ink. Jean was slumped over the table across from his eternal jug. He stared at it with a stupefied air. The candle smoked. The long charred wick fell back upon the tallow. The room grew dark. The clock struck 11. Jean started and was about to get up. Then his pride made him sit back in his chair. "No one will be able to say that I gave up," he murmured sullenly. "I'm not frightened of anything." He filled his glass. Midnight came. The clock began to strike. Ding, ding, ding. Jean didn't budge. He counted the strokes and waited. His eyes were as big as pastries. The last stroke sounded. Flack! A gust of wind swept the door open. A huge red dog came in. It sat down by the fire and stared quietly at Jean Plante, not turning its eyes away for a single second. For 5 long minutes, Miller and dog looked at each other. The first full of horror, the second calm and menacing. Jean couldn't contain himself. He got up to snuff the candle so he could see better. The candle went out between his fingers. He hunted for a packet of matches that had been on the table. They weren't there. He backed away toward the bed, always watching the motionless animal. It stood up and began to march up and down the room. Little by little, it came closer to the bed. Its eyes blazed like firebrands as it stared at the miller. It was within 3 feet of Jean. The poor man lost his head and leapt for his scythe. "It's a werewolf," he cried. He struck the animal furiously with all his strength. Then an astonishing thing happened. A sudden light invaded the room, and the mill began to work. Thomas Plant appeared with a flaming match between his fingers. The great dog had vanished. Not saying a word, Thomas relit the candle. He saw his brother standing foolishly, still clutching his scythe. "What are you doing in the darkness with that?" Thomas asked. "Have you gone crazy?" Jean, ashen-faced, didn't answer. He stared at Thomas and saw that the top of his right ear was missing. He stooped to the ground and picked up the tip of the dog's ear. It was still bleeding. "Then it's you," he whispered. He put his hand to his head and began to laugh. Jean Plante had gone mad.